See, to benefit more for, of course, these were very serious students of Shastram, but very, very serious people with Hari Shastram. At the same time, even for day solving day-to-day worries to get rid of the emotional issues, the Swami's tiny books are very, very useful. Very, very useful for sorting out the present-day problems. People should read. See, leave alone Jnanam and Moksha. Okay? Even for sorting out the day-to-day problems, emotional issues, okay, which make big damage to life. The small books are there. See, who am I? Problem is you, solution is you, freedom from fearless fear, the fearlessness, all these small books, no? They're very nice. All are based on the vision only. That's why I'm say telling. I think initially I was telling, I recommended, see that you read the books. Of course, I cover a lot of content of those books. I do cover my introduction classes. I do cover. But it's more magnified, elaborate discussed. My nice to read them very carefully, the proper pauses, the proper reading. Read, be nice. I recommend all of you start your own, each one of you should start your own study groups. Not reading advanced, I mean the small books, but even then with some exposure. First listen to the introduction to Vedanta classes, have some understanding, and then only discuss that. But to not hear really being a just simple moderator. That's different. Otherwise, listening to a lot of things, Gita, leave alone Gita, other things. Basic books definitely you can do. It helps a lot. Okay. Om Hari Om Tatsat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. So in this book, the Acharya, what he says assertively, why, how Aham Brahma Asmi. And then that same thing again he unfolds here. This is the reason, okay, this is how Aham Brahma Asmi. I is the abstract formless reality implied by the term Brahma, which is ever of the nature of consciousness existence. So Aham Brahma Asmi, why? How? This is how you have to analyze, distinguish, arrive at the reality and see reality is Brahma. And Aham, I am the reality, Aham Brahma Asmi. That he explains here. And here, why we're not able to say Aham Brahma Asmi? Not saying, why we're not able to understand the fact Aham Brahma Asmi? Whether you know, you do not know, you are Brahman only. Always you are Brahma. Wave is always water. So you are always Brahma. So when you say, when you refer to yourself, absolutely Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Brahman, this physical body has come in between. And with this, okay, this mind is there, sense organ, this whole system, anatma, the body, mind, sense complex, the abode of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment, they've been ordained by Parabdha Karma. Okay. So here, otherwise, Aham always Brahma Asmi. For this understanding, there must happen cognitive shift. One must shift one's identity from anatma to atma. And anatma to the shifting means what? Not physical, isn't it? It's cognitive, which means you have to see what exactly I am. This I am is cognition. Cognition is not pure consciousness. Cognition is not just the mere thought alone. Cognition is constituted of two subtlest two factors. Okay, the thought which itself is inexplicably subtlest to matter. Why do you say it is a matter? Because it's object of knowledge. And when you say thought is object of knowledge, the thought is experienced, along with the thought, what is experienced is, okay, the experiencer consciousness. The experiencer consciousness is experienced along with the thought in the form of the existence of the thought. Okay? And there again, the thought, not in the existence, you see what? There's some consciousness. The knower consciousness is in the form of known knowledge. The knower consciousness is in the form of known knowledge. Along with what? The manifesting medium thought. So manifest knowledge is known. Manifest existence also is known. Manifest knowledge is known. Manifest existence is known. What is manifest knowledge? What is manifest knowledge? The knowledge associated with thought pertaining to any object. Consciousness with my thought is what? My cognition. Consciousness with the computer thought is what? Computer cognition. Consciousness with the door thought is door cognition. Consciousness with the statue, murti cognition, murti thought is murti cognition. Every thought must have its own relevant respective object pertaining to a given object. The thought with consciousness is what? Cognition. So cognition, very, 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 very subtle. The same way, every thought is pertinent to any object or the other. There's only one particular specific thought, which was not only aham vrittihi. Understand now? Not an object, a subject. Aham vrittihi, that's why it is the vritti which rises first and the foremost of the vrittis, which naturally happening. That vritti rises, and there is manifestation as consciousness. The consciousness is already there. In the presence of the consciousness, there's a cognition. There's manifestation, knowledge. Recognizable knowledge. Vritti jnanam is recognizable. The knowledge is recognizable, isn't it? I am is known. I am is known. To whom? For me only. I know I am. So I know this is. I am the knower of the knowledge of my own existence. I am the knower of the existence of anything other than me. That is this world. Isn't it? Therefore, the source of this manifest knowledge, the source of manifest existence is one and the same only consciousness, which is itself pure existence. As pure consciousness existence is a being, is there always before even the aham vritti comes, it is there. Aham vritti, the cognition I am has to come first, only then the cognition pertaining to time, cognition pertaining to the knowledge of time or space is possible. Then anything which exists within the realm of time and space is possible only after this comes. And before even I comes, before even aham asmi, this knowledge comes, what is this source of. That is why before even it is there means it is timeless and spatially limitless. It's all pervasive, the subtlest. Therefore, we have to say this reality, this consciousness existence is ever of the nature of limitlessness. And nothing beyond that consciousness. Every time we do this Dhritishyaveka Prakriya, we analyze the nature of the self, we inquire into the nature of the self, we do understand there's nothing beyond this pure, abstract, formless reality, which is of the nature of awareness. Nothing beyond it. Isn't it? That also we understand here. That's why. And how long that the vritti rises, vritti as we say, isn't vritti as we know. Why does this vritti arise? I told you, this the natural evolution of beings, evolution of things, the human mind, when you say human mind, the knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, aham vrittihi, rises only in human mind. I cognition rises only in the human mind. We understand the mind itself only in terms of the vritti. Without this vritti, where is aham? And how long can that mind, how long can that mind survive? So as long as the mind is there, the mind will be, as a mind, as long as mind is there, there will be this transmigration continues. The transmigration has to stop. Transmigration means assuming a body, being born again, will stop, not by anything else. If the mind is not there, no more birth. How can we undo the mind? We do not undo the mind, we resolve the mind. What is resolving the mind? If this partial knowledge, I am, okay, becomes who I am, this total knowledge of Aham Brahma Asmi, I am, this partial knowledge of self-existence is half knowledge. Knowledge of who I am, what I am, is existent I, who am, who I am, this existent I, who am I this? Discovering who am I, knowledge becomes complete. Aham Asmi, Koham Asmi, Kim Asmi, what am I, who am I, that I do not know. When discover what I am, knowledge becomes complete. The knowledge is complete, what happens? Ignorance caused problems will not be there. Understand? If ignorance caused problems will not be there, means, my God, the whole baggage will resolve. Bhoktrutam, the enjoyership results, doership results, knowership results, all erroneous notions entertained about the self will resolve. In the light of resolving the erroneous notions entertained about the self, the erroneous notions entertained about the world also will resolve. Because if there won't, there's no world, really speaking. There's no real world. We don't say there's no world at all. This world, there's only mithya world, which is as well as non-existent. What is? It's just, that is why the magic, for a child, magicians exhibitions, there's exhibitions of magician skills, are so really exciting. But for a grown-up person, nothing is exciting. We know it's all magic. That's because you know the difference. So for the jnani, this so-called real world is not real when you understand. It means you don't overvalue it. So Shobhana Dhyasa is not there. With a due value, isn't it? Then this dependence will not be there. Dependence upon the world for your happiness, security will not be there. The dependence becomes, dependence is not there. Just enjoy the world as it is, as part of the ordained. That's all. Then what happens? The error in the perception of the self in the world get corrected means the error caused problems. Adhyasa goes, Adhyaropa goes. All desires will resolve for good. That's why all desires will naturally resolve. Though naturally the doership goes, actions also, even if the jnani performs karma, it's only karma abhasa. There's no real action. There's no binding action. Who gets bind? Karma abhasa. Therefore, there's phala abhasa. There's no results also for a jnani. There's no sanchitram karma. Who has sanchitram karma? Who has sanchitram karma? Atma, jnani, in jnani's vision, aham means awareness. Awareness is free from sanchita karma. Therefore, jnani is free from sanchita karma. Jnani has no agami karma. Jnani, with the vision, still there is this parabdha ordained body mentions complex. As long as the parabdha is there, it's like the momentum keeps the person going. That as long as parabdha is there, the body, mind goes through whatever is ordained by Parabdha. That's why Jnani also in our book seems to be suffering the problems. But they're objective. Then there's no affliction on for the Pada Jnani. Jnani does, Jnani's objectivity, okay, helps him not be afflicted by whatever physical things are happening. Jnani is free. Parabdha is exhausted, it goes means. Understand? There's no, then the mind cannot, the everything, because when all these ignorance caused problems become resolved, how can there be mind? What is mind? Buddhi, manaha, emotions, or the subconscious stored and stored and stored, accumulated subconscious. Subconscious will be completely destroyed. Disappear what? Resolved, not destroyed, resolved. Subconscious has a strength, is it, to cause problems only as long as the stronger identity with the mind, stronger is subconscious. Surfacing, coming, all this. In perspective change, mind results. Therefore, Jivan Mukti and one of Videha Mukti also. There's no need to be born again. It's not because of to get to have problems we want in Jnanam. Not like that. Naturally, that is the idea. That is the purpose of this instrument called mind itself. You know, of all these creations, the most wonderful, amazingly wonderful, this hardware, Bhagavan's hardware is this mind. And this mind will resolve for good if there is totality of jnanam, purnam jnanam. Okay. That is possible also for the human mind. Because you are not interested in knowledge of things. In the spiritual knowledge, you are interested in knowing the source of knowledge, not of knowledge of things. It's a big difference, isn't it? Are you interested in other sciences, in physical, biological, also medical, all other sciences? Your interest is in, nothing wrong in having it. I'm saying interest is in what? Knowing, in knowledge of things. In spiritual science, in the spiritual knowledge, actually, your interest is in the knowledge of the source of knowledge, not object of knowledge. That is why it puts an end. And here, repeatedly it is said, this, we cannot deny the three states of experience. A human mind, only human being is blessed with the possibility of having, going through these three states of experience. And there's no fourth state of experience. That is why Atma is given a special name as Turiyah, the title also Turiyah. Like the fourth person, being distinct from, is Atma the experiencer? No, Atma is not the experiencer. This abstract, formless reality, consciousness is not the experiencer. Not the knower. Just the reality is the reality. But knower, experiencer is experienced. Experiencer is experienced. Experience is there. Experienced objects are there. This triputi bheda, threefold difference is there. Therefore, we say from the standpoint of the experienced and the experience happening, we have to contribute this, attribute this experience of novel status to this abstract reality. Isn't it? Therefore, there's no experience, there is no experience of novel at all other than this reality. But consciousness is not the knower, not the experiencer, not the witness also. It's not from the standpoint of what? The known, the standpoint of the state of mind. Isn't it? Therefore, what is understood is awareness is the beyond which nothing else is there. And these states of experience are possible only for a human being. That is why in Vedanta Shastram, thoroughly this amazing, beautiful two prakriyas, drik drishaveka prakriya, not only does it help you distinguish the knower from the known, in order to arrive at the truth by asking the question, who this knower, who is distinct from the known? What is method for? This knower known analysis, distinguishing this knower from the known, helps you accept even the ignorance. Yes, I am the knower. I do not know what I am. You want to accept your ignorance. Yes, there is ignorance. I do not know what I am. You want to understand the ignorance. You want to know, you want to be aware of ignorance. We are ignorant of the ignorance. We have to know, we should become aware of our ignorance. Only then I can try to resolve the ignorance, isn't it? Even to know, yes, I am ignorant of the ignorance. I am ignorant of my swarupam. I am ignorant of my ignorance. I must be aware of that. Then I can make efforts. Then the distinguishing this method and the shastram helps further analyze what? The three states of mind. This avasthatare prakriya is amazing prakriya. You have to see these three states of mind, nothing to do with the physical body, completely distinct, which forms part of the individual. At the same sometime, what about this mind? Can you say exactly, explain your mind, describe the mind, paint and show the mind? Mind is inexplicably subtle, but it is material product because it is known. How do you say mind is matter? Because it is known. Because it is known, it is inert. Because it is inert, it is matter. It is material product. And our Shastram talks about what? This is a product of sattvic aspect of five elements. And there again, what is this antakaranam? You take varieties of thoughts. You understand this is all mind. Anything which is not perceptible through sense organs is mind only. You understand all these emotions. Emotions you understand. Then knowledge you understand. Ignorance you understand. And then things achievefulness, etc. you understand. Then memory you understand. So all these things, all these are in the form of thoughts. The emotions constituting the manaha is in the form of thoughts. Thoughts, specific thoughts rise. And knowledge, the cognition, the ignorance, all in the form of thoughts again. Again, we say memory, any past experiences get stored in the form of where? In the form of thoughts. So, varieties of thoughts constitute one antahkaranam, but here the first and the foremost of the thoughts, in the presence of which alone, the rest of the thoughts can be. That is the aham, asmi, I am. This I am comes and goes. If I am comes, mind is awake, waking state of mind. I am resolves, there's ignorance, total ignorance, deep sleep state of mind. Understand now? And here, analyzing these three states of mind, Shastram says this, by mere presence, without any involvement, without any touching, by mere presence, something which knows this changing states of mind, which knows the ignorance of the existence of the self, or knowledge of the existence of the self, that which knows, the knower of ignorance and knowledge is distinct, though not distant. That knower is, there's no knower, abstract, formless reality. That is what is Brahma. Therefore, the source of aham being the substituted formless reality, we have to say what? Aham Brahma Asmi. Before aham rises, aham Brahma. After this knowledge rising, aham Brahma. Again, it goes till aham Brahma. Understand now? Aham Brahma means what? That absolute I is nothing but consciousness, awareness. Aham Brahma Asmi. Understand? That's and aham distinct from these three states of mind. That is what is repeatedly said here. Now he's moving on to the next understanding. Luckily now it is connected. Okay. As we said, Lakshmidhara Kavihi only help us reinforce, ascertain the teaching, okay, that the vision that Aham Brahma Asmi. Absolutely, I am Brahma Asmi. When you say, you cannot say I'm not anything other than Brahma, you cannot say. Aham Brahma Asmi means what? There is no second thing other than Brahma. I am the whole. Aham Brahma Asmi, I am Brahman means I am not, anything other than Brahman, I am not. You cannot say. In the wake of the clear, doubt-free, ascertain vision of what Brahman is, Aham Brahma Asmi, what must be the further understanding? Where is the second thing? Which is equally real. There is no second thing other than Brahma. Okay? So, Aham Brahma Asmi means I, the Self, am one secondless, non-dual reality. I am the whole. That must be the vision. Which means, even though in spite of experiencing the plurality, duality, absolutely this is what is the fact. This is what is the fact. Or you don't need to say Aham Brahma Asmi also. You can just say, Brahma, all that is there is only Ishvara. All that is here is Ishvara. All that is only Brahma. Absolutely. In this unchanging, unmoving, all-pervasive reality, which is ever of the nature of fullness of happiness, all these arriving, changing beings just exist and disappear. Next verse. So he continues. It's all for ascertainment only. Until the 13th verse. Until the 17th verse, it's all for reinforcement of what has been already clarified. Oh, this is how Vedanta study is. You want to understand what must be listening to this teaching, isn't it? Oh my God. Repeatedly said the same thing you said. Is it boring? People may think, no. But you have this knack. One has to learn to listen to this, to enjoy this. Shadvika, Shadvikaravatam Veta. Shadvikaravatam Veta. Nirvikarohamanyatha. Shadvikaravatam Veta. Shadvikaravatam Veta. Nirvikarohamanyatha. 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 Tadvikaranusandhanam. Sarvathanavakalpate. Shadvikaravatam Veta. Shadvikaravatam Veta. ನಿರ್ವಿಕಾರೋಹಮನ್ಯಥಾ ಸರ್ವಥಾ ನಾವಕಲ್ಪತೆ. ಓಕೆ, ವೆರಿ ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಅಗೇನ್ ಮೇಕ್ಸ್ ಯು ಥಿಂಕ್. ಸಿ, ಅಂಟಿಲ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ವಾಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ದೀಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್. ತ್ರೀ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್, ವಿ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಡಿನೈ ಯುವರ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸಸ್. ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್, ವೆರಿ ಸಟಲ್. ವಾಟ್ಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್? ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್? ವಾಟ್ ಡಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ ಬೈ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್? ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಯು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್? ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್. ಯು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಯು ಕಾಂಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್. ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಯು ಕಾಂಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್. ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್, ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಸೇ. ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲಿಕಬಲ್, ಇಸ್ಂಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಅಮೇಝಿಂಗ್? ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೊ ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ಅವರ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಿ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಡಿನೈ, ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ದೇರ್ಸ್ ನೋ ಕಾಂಟ್ರಡಿಕ್ಷನ್ ಇನ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್. ಎಸ್ಎಂಟ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ನಾವ್ ನೋ ವರ್ಡ್ ಕಾಂಟ್ರಡಿಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಯುವರ್ ರೀಸನಿಂಗ್. ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಹೌ ದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸಸ್ ಚೇಂಜ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸಸ್ ಆರ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸರ್. ದಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸರ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ನಾಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸರ್ ಬಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸದ್ವಸ್ತು ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿಚ್ ಯು ಆರ್. ಯು ಆರ್ ದಟ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ. ನೌ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಅಗೇನ್, ಚೇಂಜ್ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ಎವಿಟಬಲ್, ಅನ್ಅವಾಯ್ಡಬಲ್, ಅನ್ಚೇಂಜಬಲ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್. ಬಟ್ ಸ್ಪೆಸಿಫಿಕಲಿ ದಿ ವಾಟ್ ಹೌ ಮೆನಿ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಚೇಂಜಸ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಜ್ಞ ಥರಲಿ ಅನಲೈಸ್. ದರ್ ಆರ್ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಚೇಂಜಸ್. ದ ಚೇಂಜಸ್ ಆರ್ ಮಾಡಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಚೇಂಜ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆನ್ given form undergoes a change and it continues to be in a different form. That change itself is the relative destruction of the previous form and the birth of the new form. The destruction of the old form is the birth of the new form, okay, the new another form, which is called relative destruction. Change is relative destruction. Otherwise, there's no destruction at all. Change alone is destruction. So birth is a change. Death is also gross change. Birth is a subtle change. Okay? Death is a gross change. In between birth and death, what would change? Growth, metamorphosis, decay, they're all much subtler, invisible changes. Okay, so Shastam talks about sixfold modifications. So he says, and the knower of the sixfold modifications, when each modification happens, there's a knower knowing the modification taking place, which means the knower cannot be changing. The knower also changes, then knowing the modification is not possible. Isn't it? The knower must be there changelessly to know the changes. The knower also changes. How can he know the changes? That's what he says here. Simple verse. He says, Shadvikaravatam vidha. See, Shadvikaraha, sixfold modifications, the six changes. Six changes. Gross and subtle and subtler changes. And each change is what? Relative destruction of some form and the birth of the new form. These changes. And those which have these six changes, six modifications, are said to be Shad Vikara Vantaha. Shad Vikara Van Dehaha. Shad Vikara Vantaha Dehaha. All physical forms are subject to the sixfold changes, sixfold modifications. Okay. Shad Vikaravantaha means those which are subject to sixfold modifications. Those who are endowed with sixfold modifications are Shad Vikaravantaha. Of them, okay, there. How do you say? Shad Vikaravatam. Shad Vikaravatam Veta. Veta is again Rikarantaha, Pullingaha, Vetra Shabdaha. Got it? Veti knows. With this the root. Veti is a present tense verb, knows. And Veta, the knower. Okay, Jnata. Veta is equal to Jnata. Rikaranta Pullinga Shabdaha. The knower of those which are subject to modifications, sixfold modifications. Knower of those. See, knower of the bodies and knower of the attributes of the body. Understand? Knower of the bodies is the knower of the attributes of the bodies also. Is it clear? The sixfold modifications, modification, change is what now? Dehasya gunaha. It's a change in the attribute of the body. Deha dharmaha. Being subject to change is the attribute of the body, nature of the isn't it? Attribute of the body. Therefore, dehavatam veta, dehanam veta, dehavatam veta. Shadvikaranam veta, shadvikaravatam deha veta. The knower of the physical forms is the knower of the modifications, the attributes of those physical forms also. Is it clear? Clear or not? Shadvikaravan is equal to the anything, everything which is subject to sixfold modifications is Shadvikaravan. Shadvikaravantaha, plural. Takaranda Shabda. And Shadvikaravatam Veta, knower of the bodies along with their sixfold modifications is who? Who is the knower? Aham. Aham Shadvikaravatam Veta. I am the knower of the bodies and I am the knower of their attribute of changes also. Sixfold modifications also. Therefore, who am I? Aham Nirvikaraha. I am ever of the nature of changelessness. I am absolutely changeless. I am changeless, knower of the changeful bodies. I am a changeless knower of sixfold modifications of the bodies subject to change. I am the knower of the bodies. I am the changeless knower of the changing bodies. I am changeless knower of the bodies subject to changes. Is it clear? That's what is this sentence, the first sentence. If I am also changing, I am changeless knower, if I the knower am, I'm always changeless. If I am the knower, I the knower also changeful, if I'm also subject to change, then that vikara anusandhanam sarvathana avakalpate. Vikara anusandhanam means what? Knowing anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means what? Actually, constantly placing the attention in the changes. Closely observing the changes. I am the observer of the changes. Otherwise, the observation of changes. Tad vikara anusandhanam means the observation of the changes of those bodies. Changes of anything which have changes. Na avakalpate sarvatha, not at all possible. Tad vikara anusandhanam na avakalpate means what? It is not possible for the observation of changes is not possible, not at all possible. Now this observation of changes is possible for me. I am the knower of the changes because I am always changeless. Aham nirvikaraha, I am free from changes. I am free from all modifications. Nirvikaratvate aham brahma asmi. Because of this unique nature of changelessness also what? Aham brahma asmi. Aham nirvikaraha. I'm ever of the nature of changelessness. Because of my nature of changelessness, there's a possibility of observing constantly happening these changes of those subject to changes. Is it clear? Therefore, Shad Vikaravatam Vedha Aham Nirvikaraha Anyatha. Otherwise, if I am not changeless, then Anusandha Vikara Tad Vikara Anusandhanam, observation of the modifications of those objects, Sarvatna Avakalpate is not possible. Sarvatana Avakalpate means it is not at all possible. Now, what is said here? Subtle changes or gross changes do happen. And changes belong to what? Change is the attribute. Change is something, change is always of anything material. The inert material forms are subject to change. And this change alone is said to be what? Relative destruction. Other than change, there is no total destruction of the matter also. Change is, why does it undergo change? Change is the nature of the matter. Because change is the nature of the matter, we all have grown from what? From being 3 pounds, and we are today what we are of so many years, isn't it? And we are all here what now? And this is changing, this form is changing, because what we eat also is what now? Changing. What is consumed, again it changes into this expanded forms, isn't it? Therefore, change is the unchangeable nature of the matter. If I grieve for something that, oh, I don't like the change, means I'm not able to accept the fact as a fact. If I'm not able to accept the fact as a fact, should I think, what should I think? I'm immature or mature? Shastram labels such a person as immature person. Who is immature person? The person who is not able to accept the fact as a fact is immature. What is immaturity? Not being able to accept the fact as a fact. What is the fact here? Anything and everything material is subject to change, including one's body, mind, and consciousness. Especially his physical body, not all physical forms are possibly subject to sixfold modifications. And I am always here being aware of this. Okay, I'm always here changelessly being aware of the changes, aware of the bodies, our physical forms, and the modifications happening on the part of the body. Therefore, otherwise, if I am not changeless, it is not at all possible for observing the changes happening on the part of the material forms. For what I have to, it's remaining immature, worrying, not being able to accept the fact as a fact is not the right thing. Instead of worrying, one must try to become mature by understanding the fact, accepting the fact. Okay? Because there's nothing to an I am ever of the nature of changelessness. Is it clear? Awareness is ever of the nature of changelessness. This abstract formless reality is ever of the nature of changelessness, absolutely free from all modifications. That is the reason, what we say, this reality implied by the Tamatma is absolutely indestructible. There's no form of change is possible. That is why it's absolutely indestructible. Indestructibility is because of changelessness. All subtle changes also are not there. In Gita, we understood, you know, there's no viparinama, there's no vriddhi, there's no, isn't it, death, there's no birth. All these words, na jayate, na mriyate, va kadachit. So all these words actually reveal what? The nature of the reality being changelessness. Being changeless is being free from destruction, being indestructible. And being indestructible is also what? Being actionless, being motionless. It goes with what? All pervasiveness also. Is it clear? If it is not clear, I can help. Tadvikara anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means what? Constantly, continuously placing the attention. But here you can take it as observation, isn't it? See, observer, the changeless observer alone can observe. The observation of changes is possible only if the observer is changeless. I am the changeless observer, distinct from the observer. Distinct from what? Distinct from the changes. So here, when a Kshanika Vijnani is one of the four schools of Buddhists, no? We don't need to worry about this Shunyavadi. Kshanika Vijnanavadi, who mistakes the fleeting consciousness. He, Kshanika Vijnanavadi, mistakes the manifest consciousness as manifest consciousness as the reality. He does not go for the source of consciousness, source of manifestation. The manifest consciousness he takes as the self, as the reality. And manifestations, whenever the vrittis go, manifestations disappear. That's why he calls it fleeting consciousness. The vritti jnanam comes, the consciousness is. Vritti jnanam goes, again consciousness disappears. For him, consciousness comes and goes. Why? Every time vritti jnanam is there, when this manifestation of knowledge, consciousness is what? Recognizable in the form of knowledge. When the vritti goes, then consciousness is not available for recognition. Consciousness doesn't go, then it is not available for recognition. Vritti goes, consciousness is non-recognizable. Vritti is, consciousness is recognizable in the form of knowledge. Vritti comes, consciousness is recognizable in the form of knowledge. Vritti goes, consciousness is not recognizable. Not recognizable means what? Non-existent. So what, according to him, the Kshanika Vijnana means that the fleeting consciousness is the reality. Which means for him, the changes. Whereas here, what Shankaracharya is saying in this context, how does he refute Kshanika Vijnana's view? Okay, yes, we have to remember this. I am changeless observer. The changeless observer is the pure consciousness. Changeless observer is the reality. abstract, formless reality, the changeless, changeless observer is abstract, formless reality. It's ever of the nature of consciousness, which doesn't come and go, always there. Isn't it? So consciousness does not undergo any change. But he thinks, comes and goes. Where mistakes, the manifest all just the manifest consciousness. Oh, consciousness comes, consciousness goes. Consciousness comes, consciousness goes. It's a fleeting consciousness, he calls it. Kshanika Vijnanam. Whereas here, the observer of Kshanika Vijnanam is observer of the changes. Now, vrittis change. Vrittis come, vrittis go, vrittis come, vrittis change. So, the arrival, the knower of, observer of the arrival and departure of vritti jnanam is changeless observer. Similarly, observer of, observer, got it now? Not only this body, observer of the changing cognitions must be changeless. The changeless observer is always changeless. Observed cognitions, the thoughts, they're all subject to change. So, vritti is or what? Vikaravat, vikaravati vrittihi, vikaravat manaha. Mind is subject to change. And body is subject to change. Body is subject to sixfold modifications. Mind is also subject to change. Constantly, vrittis keep on coming and going in the waking state. And when the waking state goes completely deep sleep state, this is all vikaravat manaha. So, vikaravatam manasam, vikaravatam dehanam, vikaran yaha veti saha veta nirvikaraha. Got it? The observer, the knower of the and those which are subject to modifications is ever free from modifications, changeless. The observation of changes of the happening on the part of the thought, observation of the changes happening on the part of the vrittis, observation happening on the part of anything material is possible only if the observer is ever changeless. The changeless observer is abstract, formless reality. Brahma. Therefore, what? I am the changeless observer. Changeless observer is consciousness. Brahma. Or aham Brahma asmi. Is it clear? Okay. Next verse. The same thing. Now, change is something. The phenomenon called change must be thoroughly understood. How? Change happens. Anything, everything material is subject to change. Not only gross physical body is subject to sixfold modifications. Subtle thoughts also are constantly changing. If thoughts do not change, cognitions cannot change. If cognitions cannot change, then you cannot have, suppose the cognitions do not change, what will happen? If you see me, only this form will be there. And you cannot see this, you cannot see the window, you cannot see what's happening, you cannot hear the words. Countless number of thoughts, cognitions, isn't it? They happen, there is a constant flow of vrittis. When you hear one word, you don't stuck to the one word alone. You hear the next word, you hear the next word, you hear the next word. You constantly hearing what I'm saying means as many number of cognitions arise in keeping with as many number of words I'm saying. You don't even know, it's very quick, very fast. They're constantly vrittis are had. Therefore, manaha is what? Vikaravat. Vrittayaha vikaravatyaha. Dehaha vikaravan dehaha. And everything you see is what? Vikaravan. Understand? Therefore, especially mind. Mind is what? Vikaravat manaha. So, vikaravat state of mind also. Vikaravata vikaran yaha veti saha nirvikaraha atma. Understand? So, he continues that again. Tena tena hi rupena jayate liyate muhu tena hi rupena jayate liyate muhu vikari vastunastesham anusandhatruta kutaha tena tena hi rupena jayate liyate muhu vikari vastunastesham anusandhatruta kutah. So he says, please make a note, anusandhati. Leave the verse now, listen to me. Anusandhati is a verb. Dadhati, dha is the root. The verb is dadhati. Misplaces. Sandadhati places well. Anusandadhati. Anu sam, two prefixes. Anu sam dadhati, anusandhadhati. Continuously places well, means focuses one's attention, means observes closely, focuses one's attention. Okay, it's called anusandhadhati. And what is the noun? Anusandhanam. That's why anusandhanam, constantly placing the attention of the mind, is what? Anusandhanam. So, anusandhanam means close, careful observation, placing the attention of the mind. So, meditation is also what? Anusandhanam. So, swarupa anusandhanam means what? Contemplate, constantly placing the attention of the mind only on one's own swarupa. Isn't it? I mean, this is now anusandhanam only. We are repeatedly, what are we doing in the class? Got it now? We are placing attention on the mind repeatedly. We are helped to place the attention of the mind in our swarupa. This is anusandhanam. So, swarupa anusandhanam. Dwelling upon one's own essential nature. Okay, that's a different thing. Now, anusandhanam means meditation or observation. Isn't it? Now, anusandhata, rikaranta, pullingaha, anusandhatru shabdaha. Anusandhata means meditator, observer, is anusandhata. Rikaranta pullinga shabda, like ganta, patita, likita, rasan, shrota, anusandhata, veta, all rikaranta pullinga shabda. And anusandhatru